All right. Welcome to another thrilling episode of Truth and Reconciliation. It's the Pellwood Fantasy Football League podcast. He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It's great to have you with us. Peter, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm having a hard time not looking towards the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Got to stay focused for the last 3 weeks of the regular season here. Mm-hmm. Finished strong, but I'm getting ready for playoff time. Got to tell
Congratulations on your clinching of a playoff spot. In fact, hats off to both you and Brent. Has your wife commented on this success? Have y'all had any celebratory relations or interactions at any other dinner? I don't know.
I'm not comfortable with your use of the word relations in that. However, no, I have not told my wife that I ran an Excel spreadsheet with 2,500 iterations of possible outcomes for our fantasy football league, and it says that I am a lock to make the playoffs. No, didn't share that one with her over pillow talk.
Can't imagine that not getting anybody in the mood. I don't know what you're waiting for.
Oh, honey, let me say iterations.
Got a smoking gun over here, man.
Every time you hear the word iterations, it's kind of a funny joke. You know, you hear iterations, just gets you going. Say it again. Iteration.
Uh-huh. Well, I hear you. I'm hanging on by a thread. Welcome back to our podcast. We did miss last week. We apologize for that. Our perfect season record was broken, unfortunately. I know that both Peter and I had conflict. Peter's work caught up on Wednesday night, and my work caught up with me on Thursday night in the form of falling asleep on the couch. So all that to say, we were unable to, and I was away for the weekend, so we were unable to get anything cranked out last week, and it was a big week, to say the least, and I had lots of hurt feelings after the loss that I personally faced with Scott, and I know that it was a weird week across the board as well. Not quite as weird as this one, as you've already pointed out in our league email. But, Peter, let's briefly kind of highlight week 9 since we didn't get a chance to do that. We were fighting for a couple of elbow room spots in the playoffs. It was a big week in terms of clinching. What was your take on that before we jump into this past week 10?
Yeah, week 9. My big takeaway from week 9 was, of course, you losing again on Monday night to Scott.
Story of my life.
Comeback victory twice this year. Scott's done that to you. This time was
in both times he's followed up with a bomb of a game the following week. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that?
Right.
Yeah, that
right.
Feels great.
He kind of peaks on you and then collapses the next week. So, this time he beat you by 4.4 points as opposed to the first time where it was 0.2. But a couple of his best scores of the season have come on you with Monday night comeback victory. So that's a shame. My other big takeaway was that I lost Deion Lewis for the year, which was a very sad outcome of week 9.
Because he scored over 200 points. Nobody's feeling sorry for you. I hope you realize this.
I hope people are feeling sorry for
me. We're not.
Because that's definitely the best I'll do the rest of the years. I've lost Arian Foster, Steve Smith, and Deion Lewis 3 weeks in a row for the year, and it's getting pretty thin over here, Seth, let me tell you.
The joke, and it was fun on Twitter because you ran the scoreboard up on your brother. This was Pellwood Bowl round 2, mm-hmm. and the brothers Elwood, it was quite a game. I mean, you doubled up on him, sir. You doubled up.
Yeah.
Almost to the point.
A lot of things went right. You know, and Antonio Brown had a monster day.
Aaron Rodgers had a monster day. That's, the Packers defense couldn't hold it together. Mm-hmm. Aaron had to work harder, than he usually did. But, man.
But it's amazing the difference between Antonio Brown with Big Ben and Antonio Brown without Big Ben. It is it's literally the difference between the number one wide receiver in fantasy football and, like, the number 34 wide receiver in fantasy football.
Yeah. Random, but accurate, yeah.
Fingers crossed. It's painting the picture. Has to pick an arbitrary low number. But fingers crossed that Big Ben doesn't break again because he is tangentially a key to my success.
Sure. Well, we had another big board in week 9. And that was Brent's running up the score against Chris, who Also did very well with 160 points. Couldn't come close to Brent's 198.4. Brent continuing to dominate across, but feeling pretty good about how the fact that Peter could have bested him in that week. Not the only man who's bested Brent recently, I might add. Not quite the same dramatic score, but a dramatic comeback nonetheless, or rather a dramatic clinching upset. with an upset and a kicker spot. So we'll come to that presently. Anything else from week 9 that you wanted to draw our attention to?
No, I just, you know, thoughts and prayers for Chris as he, you know, put up a big score and lost, which he did in week 10 as well. In week 9, he was one of the top 3 scorers and lost. In week 10, he was one of the top 3 scorers and lost. So we've seen Derek pull that trick earlier in the season, and now Chris has the bad luck stick beating him over the head right now.
Mm, yeah.
Well, but anyway, we shall segue into week 10 and discuss your victory over
Yes.
Brent, which was a shock. You know, if we had podcasted last week,
I would have talked about how it was a lock that I would be out of this league already.
Right. Yeah, you'd be staring that seventh loss in the face. That'd be curtains for you.
It would be. And I was in a bad mood as it was, because not just because I lost, and I was upset that I lost again to Scott on Monday night, because that's just so typical, because I feel like that, like, I don't mean to throw myself a pity party, but before we went on the air, Peter and I were discussing how I'm really, really good at coming at second place in our daily fantasy, FanDuel. It happens all the time. It's happened more often than not this past season. I come in second place in our league, and then Monday nights screw me over. And I always make the wrong bench decision when it comes to players, and it's always one critical player, and this week it was Sammy Watkins. And that was what I was most upset about, is that I saw the win clearly and just made a foolish decision, should have put Sammy Watkins on and would have been just fine. So I was in a bad mood, and then I knew that Brent was around the corner, and so I was just ready to wash my hands of it. So I'm actually kind of glad that we didn't, because I would have really be eating a lot of self-pity at this point, because I was excited about it. But
Yeah, and you're ninth in the lead in points scored, but if we looked at only ideal lineups across the lead, you would be fifth in the lead. So you go from bottom third to nearly in the top third because of the amount of points that have been scored on your bench. But this one worked out quite nicely for you. Thankfully, Sammy Watkins was a non-issue. Mm-hmm. You caught Brent on one of his worst weeks, which, you know, so the stars aligned. And, you know, you're a 28-point underdog, which is one of the bigger upset victories we've seen this this season. So congratulations to you. It was a victory well-earned as the second biggest upset of the season, because Michael had a 30-point upset.
Well, I got to thank Mr. Mike Nugent. He, and truthfully, I was not going to pick up a kicker for the sake of getting beat. I didn't feel the need to drop a kicker that I currently have just to pick up another one.
Which is strange, because you were in a must-win situation. Like, you had to win.
I know.
And you were expecting the loss. You were planning.
Did I mention that I was hopeless after getting struck down by Scott and then facing Brent, who has been scoring in the stratosphere, I should say? And so, I hadn't placed a kicker because I was kind of like, you know, what's the point? Woe is me. This is it's come to its end, and then Sunday afternoon, a glimmer, a chance, a hope, a second strength, a picture of what could be. And so Monday morning, I woke up fresh, going, it's the kicker. The kicker will make the difference. The kicker will be the kicker. And so I got on to see which one, if not both, were available. And sure enough, both were available, and I couldn't believe that Brent hadn't tried to sabotage by selecting a keeper out from underneath or a kicker out from underneath me. And so it just came down to deciding which one would I choose, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to choose the Texans kicker. So that therein lied the answer, and as you pointed out, it made a 0.1-point difference, a tenth of a point for the W.
If you had not started the kicker, you would have been just completely – I mean, kicking yourself and bemoaning your terrible luck to have lost by 0.1 points as Brent's defense would have given him just enough to beat you until that kicker spot rescued you. So fun win there. We also need to make sure we give an honorable mention to our fallen comrades who suffered their seventh loss this week, both Jared and Michael. Taking the walk of shame as their odds of making the playoffs are virtually zero.
I didn't get the sound effect board plugged in before.
Oh,
this
you didn't
one, so,
really? I thought that was a sound effect.
No, that's actually I'm doing that with my mouth. Believe it or not.
You do it so well.
Well,
I had no idea.
Yeah. So Jared and Michael, Godspeed. There's still the toilet bowl.
There's
still a reason not to fire sale and to hang on, and you got keeper decisions to make. But there's still the toilet bowl, and the toilet bowl has not only somewhat of restored pride inside it, but also some cash winnings.
That's right. And we are 1 week away from the trade deadline, so there is time to make a move for next season. You know, someone like Deion Lewis might interest you. You will not get him from me, but someone like that from some other team who would be willing to part with a good keeper for a useful piece this year would be a possibility.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was going to be pawning off Tony Romo to the highest bidder this week, but we shall see.
Indeed, and they will likely be joined by other seven lost teams soon, so they won't be the only two who are completely out of it. Most likely, it is possible that all of the teams with six losses currently can get a victory in week 11. None of them play each other, so there is a chance that they will live to die another day. And I think we're all rooting for that because it is a sad moment when someone has been knocked out of the picture for this year for us.
Sure, but man, what a season it's been! What a tight race. I don't think that we'll. Well, who knows what will happen? But I don't think that we've ever had such a tight pack going into the final stretch here before.
Yeah, normally we've got one or two teams that really distance themselves, and Brent was there, but with him losing last week, it doesn't look like such a big distance.
So that
some clusters of teams together. The teams that are in the playoff picture right now are in a good spot, but there is definitely room for a team that's out of it right now to make a run for sure.
Well, let's hop over here to week 10, discuss a couple of the matches before we look at week 11, what's heading into that, where we have the do or die situation here as we race towards the playoffs. We're just three short weeks away from the end of the season. And so we will be diving into some statistics, that beautiful and sexy spreadsheet that Peter was discussing earlier in the context of his own relationship.
I think you were discussing it in that context.
I mean, you brought it up. If we play back the
I'll have to play back.
So anyway, the that spreadsheet presents a couple of postulations in which we can discuss the specific percentiles, playoff odds. For every single one of our teams. And so we're going to give a rundown of that before we do. Highlights from week 10. Big thing we noticed in week 10 was that not only were an upset or two, there was some very tight races, especially going into Monday, but even going into late Sunday night. Each matchup seemed to be undetermined by Sunday night. That's very rare.
Yeah, at least five out of the six were. Derek pretty much had Scott beat. Fairly early on, but the other five, really anything could have happened. And I think at one point there were, I think both maybe you and Brent's game and Brian's and Ben's might have been projected to be ties, pretty late, around halftime on Monday. So, it's an exciting finish, certainly.
Yeah. Well, once again, bummer for Chris who lost it in the the final minutes to Brock as he clinched a win by about 3 points, less than.
Yeah, and DeAndre Hopkins didn't catch a late touchdown.
Yep. And Ben came out on top of Brian by about 10 points.
Because Brian Hoyer left the Monday night game with an injury.
Brian got a concussion, right?
I think some of his left wrist or something.
Was it? I heard a concussion. But I heard it from a 12-year-old earlier tonight, so we'll see.
it was a concussion.
Hey, I'm going to call that 12-year-old back and get tips on my FanDuel and see how I can move to second first.
The 12-year-old source?
Yeah, it's a good source. So that 12-year-old was also very adamant that I looked just like Brian Hoyer. And so All right, Andy came on top of Jared.
But to be fair, you could also say you look like Tim Hasselbeck and any other bald man.
Yeah, I like Dotry. We got that a few times on Periscope.
Well, sure. Of course, you'd like the one who is, rich and famous and more attractive than
talented
Brian Hoyer. So.
Sure. Yeah. Well, like I was saying, Andy beat Jared by a small spread this week, about 6 points, which does, in fact, knock Jared out of the running. We had Jared on a couple weeks ago discussing his loophole, but also well-executed keeper strategy. And then we, as a league, put a stop to it, even though we admired his efforts. So.
Indeed, that was a shame to kill that dream. But I told Jared was I think he just flew too close to the sun. It went to the nth degree, and then got to a point where it couldn't hold water anymore. So, but thankfully we only had to back out one trade, which was mine with him. In which case, I would have acquired Jeremy Hill.
You dodged a bullet.
Kind of dodged a bullet with that one.
You dodged a big bullet.
But the other trades he made went through, and his team still looks probably the way he was hoping it would, with lots of keeper options out there. So.
Yeah.
But yes, bullet effectively.
Well, let's take a look at week 11, shall we?
Moving forward. Let's do playoff odds when we do power rankings later.
That sounds good.
All right, so week 11, we have some matchups. So let's start with the game of the week, because it's all downhill from there. This might be the game of the season, really, because it's Derek versus Brent, who are number one and number three in points scored in the league. They are in the same division. So this is, if Derek wants a shot at that number one spot, this is his chance. He has to win this week and then get a little help the rest of the year. He could get that number one spot, get that bye, and that would be an upset, a huge stumble for Brent at the end of the year. But, Brent lost Le'Veon Bell for the year. Then he's got the Steelers on bye this week. So he's got some holes out there, in his lineup, and, he's got Drew Brees on bye this week as well. And so this might be a tough one for Brent, as, Derek's got Devontae Freeman coming back off bye. He's got LeSean McCoy looking good. Cam Newton is just chugging along. So, some good stuff going for Derek coming in this matchup. Right now projected to win by just navigated away from the page that had the points total, but I think it's about 9 points. 16 points. So Derek's in the lead right now going in this one, and I kind of like him to win just because of the bye weeks and the injuries that Brent's got.
Yeah. Well, I think that. Do you feel like there's an easy call here? Like, I'm looking at it going, it's a...
Not an easy call, no. But, Andy Dalton hasn't looked too good, and that's who Brent's at quarterback now.
Yeah.
Hasn't looked too good the last 2-3 weeks, and he's going to play at Arizona.
Sure, meanwhile...
Really good on,
Yeah, Cam Newton has actually looked good, and that's been surprising this past latter half of the season. He's been, especially up against Green Bay and Indianapolis, teams that he was not expected to do great against. And this week he's up against Washington, and so plenty of potential there. I think that if history paints a picture, I do think that Brent takes this one with a big score, but those buys are gonna chip away at how big that score will be. So Derek's team looks it's in better positioning to do well. So actually, I'm gonna go ahead and reverse what I just said. I'm gonna say that Derek takes this one.
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like the projections are getting a little bit looser as the season goes on. They're not quite as reliable as I think they were earlier on, but I think still fairly good measuring stick, and there's just a little more unpredictability late in the season with so many injuries and kind of, replacement players out there. It's a little bit more difficult to know exactly what's going to happen, but I like Brent's wide receivers this week. He's got Julio Jones and Jarvis Landry and Mike Evans. They should all do pretty well. And it's just the, like the Andy Dalton and the Jordan Reed. I don't feel like they're going to have as strong of weeks this week. Right. So we shall see. This should be a really high scoring matchup. It would not surprise me if these were the top two scoring teams this week.
I hope so.
As they are, they've been two of the top scoring teams all season.
Yeah, I'd love to make it interesting. I'm hoping that's the case. All right, well, moving from then, that's our big game of the week. I would love to jump right over to your game with Brian. You're sitting at 7-3. Brian is sitting at 4-6. And you guys are projected within a 1-point spread right now.
Yep.
Him being at 144.2 and you being at 143.5, so less than a point projection-wise. Give us the rundown of what you're looking at here this week.
Yeah, so Brian just picked up Matthew Stafford, got him at quarterback. I think that's a really good pick this week going against Oakland. I think he should do well. He's got Demaryius Thomas, who will have a new quarterback throwing to him, not Peyton Manning, but that may actually be a good thing for him. Good job on having Peyton Manning on your bench, by the way, last week. Yeah. With those four interceptions.
No kidding.
When he broke the passing yards.
Now he's in my IR.
Isn't that funny how his deal with the devil ran out? Right after he.
Oh, man. Golden fiddle. Turn it in, man.
Benched in the same game because he's so terrible. It's a real kick in the teeth.
No kidding.
But he shows up at the party later that night, where they're like trying to celebrate him breaking the record, and there's just a single kazoo that walked in the room.
I didn't know you had a sound effect board set up. Man. Quality just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
I've got to up my game to keep up with you.
Yeah.
He also has Darren McFadden, who has been really good recently and now has a capable quarterback of moving the ball down the field. Might actually score a touchdown this week. So I don't know. Looking at it, and he's got Danny Amendola, who's now kind of filling in for the injured Julian Edelman. And he's got Jason Witten, who again gets Romo back, a boost to him there. So, I mean, looking at it, I don't have a whole lot of warm and fuzzy feelings. I feel like I'm having to start some players who I wouldn't really like to start. Mm-hmm. Lamar Miller's been great, should still be good again. Ever since I acquired him in a trade, he's been awesome. So, really happy with that. But, also just looked at him there as my RB1. I don't know. I don't yet feel like he's that stud RB1, trying to feel like he's just on a hot streak that's going to fade at some point.
Fade at some point, yeah.
I got Brandon Marshall and Michael Floyd in my lineup right now, who are both questionable, and I really don't know if they're going to play or not. Hopefully they can tough through it, but we'll see. I don't know. I don't feel great about my team this week, so I would not be surprised if I lost. I thought I was going to lose at one point last week to Michael. I was very fortunate that I did not. I just feel like my days as a dominant force are coming to an end, and I hope I did a first round bye in the playoffs because I don't want to be bounced out in the first round.
Yeah, his team does look better than yours.
Thank you.
It does. I was confirming what you said. It's not a crime, but it does look better. But you're not down and out. Like, there's plenty of guys that if they go off, like I'll say this: if Brandon Marshall plays above average, if Tyler Eifert, who oh my goodness, just shot you in the foot last week, man.
Hey, wow. you want to know a fun fact about Tyler Eifert?
I do.
He has scored 140 points this season in 9 weeks.
Yeah.
In two of those weeks that I benched him, he scored 60 points.
That is a
in the other 7 weeks that I started him, he scored 80 points. So when I bench him, he scores 30 points a game. When I start him, he scores about 11.
So when you say fun fact, what you mean to say?
Fun fact, if I was a masochist.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to be clear. Well, you're going to play him this week, yeah?
Yeah. I don't have another tight end on my roster.
I just don't understand how you can go off on Cleveland and then Houston come around and you just drop the ball so many times. Oh.
Yeah, he dropped it a lot. I think I saw a stat that he had like 2 drop passes for the year coming into that game, and then he dropped 3 or 4 in that game. So.
Wow.
He caught a case of the Mike Evans.
Oh yeah, I know all about that. So I think if Brandon Marshall's your key here, if he goes off and if Lamar Miller keeps the wind in his sail, you have a really strong chance. If not, then I think you're in trouble. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this is either going to be a close victory for me or I'm going to lose by 30.
Yeah, it probably will be. You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, I don't feel like this has potential for a blowout victory for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, time will tell.
All right. Let's go to your game.
Okay.
All right. So you're going up against Chris, who's going to take out all of his revenge on you.
Probably on Monday night.
for his two tough losses the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. Actually, at this point, unless he picks up a few off of the waiver wire, he doesn't have any players that play Monday night. So I should know by Sunday, about 5 o'clock, he doesn't even have Sunday night football going on this week at this point. But that depends on what he does with Duke Johnson and Gary. Is it Barnage? I don't even know who that guy is. Barnage. Yeah, Cleveland's guy. Yeah.
You don't know who that guy is?
No, I do. I just couldn't pronounce his last name.
I was gonna say, look at him. He's an amazing tight end, apparently. Number 2 tight end in football this year.
How about that?
But that's good advanced scouting on your part to check and see that there are no Monday night players on his team.
Well, I've been a little terrified about Monday nights. If he had a brain in his head, he would go and drop half of his team and pick up anybody who's playing on Monday night, and it's a lock.
Right, right. Yeah, that Monday night is a lock. Is safe for sure. He's got Kirk Cousins in there at quarterback right now. I'm guessing he'll switch to Jameis Winston, who's on his bench.
Probably.
I don't think you want to roll the dice with Kirk Cousins 2 weeks in a row. Who had a really soft matchup against New Orleans last week and now goes against Carolina, which is the opposite of a soft matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Winston is going against Philadelphia, and that's a much better shot for him. Let's see. He's got Duke Johnson, Jerry Barnage on bye. It's kind of crazy that Chris is such a good team when he has 2 Cleveland Browns in his starting lineup every week. But those two are like the only good Browns. But he's got them on bye, so he'll have to replace those guys. Still has a solid team all the way around. His stud is Todd Gurley, who's got a tough matchup against Baltimore, who has actually a pretty good rush defense. And then he's got Jordan Matthews, who now has Mark Sanchez throwing to him. We'll see. That may actually be a good thing for Matthews. It's a shame that Matthews can't play Dallas every week, because he's got 2 touchdown passes on the year. Both came against Dallas in different games. And then Chris is rocking the 2 Raiders wide receivers, Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. That's worked out splendidly for him, and they've got a good matchup against Detroit this week. So all that being said, he also has Shark Kendrick West going against San Diego, who's had a soft rush defense, worse than the league, actually.
Yep.
So that's a good matchup for him there as well. So, you know, except for the bye week, having filled those in, he's got, I'd say half his matchups are good ones. And he's going to be in decent shape. Probably not going to go off on you. But, we'll put up a good score. You, on the other hand, have Tony Romo coming back. It's a nice shot in the arm.
Yeah.
I feel good about him coming back. I feel like it's not gonna be still partially injured Tony Romo. I feel like he's gonna come back and be pretty much fully healthy.
Yeah, he's got the chip on his shoulder, no pun intended, but he's gotta get out there and show his worth. Dude. The timing is good too, because Eli's on bye this week. So I really appreciate the timing of his return.
Well, and Eli's probably going to catch something from Peyton over Thanksgiving. So
I'm sure.
So the rest of his season, not to be so pretty.
Yeah.
You got Sammy Watkins back in there?
I sure do.
You feel good about starting him?
I do this week, yeah.
Last time he played New England, he scored 18 points.
Yep.
And, hadn't done anything until that Miami game where he was on your bench. So maybe he will recreate some of that magic.
That's what we're looking for.
Yep.
Of course, we're going to have him wrapped up like you wouldn't believe.
This is one of the more legitimate wide receiver weeks that we've seen from you. That's kind of been a soft spot for you, and you've got Eric Decker and Watkins looking both healthy now. Decker's been on fire.
Yeah, he has.
He only has failed to catch a touchdown pass in one game that he started this year.
And he's up against Houston, and their secondary is not great. They're going to get plenty of touches on the quarterback on defense, but ultimately I think they're going to get the ball in his hands. And the Jets' rush defense, I mean, they're made for groundwork. So,
what are you going to do at defense?
I'm not going to leave the Bills in there, that's for sure.
All right.
Thanks for looking out for me. That was a nice way to ask.
I'm just saying you do not want to play any defense against the Patriots.
No.
Even though the Patriots don't have Deion Lewis or Julian Edelman anymore.
Sure. No, don't worry.
They will find a way to score their 35 points.
Yeah. The Cardinals don't have a great matchup against Cincinnati this week.
Unless it's a consistently fading Andy Dalton Cincinnati, because then they might have a great matchup. He might throw four interceptions.
That's true.
He has that ceiling.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
So you've got the Murray brothers out there at running back again. DeMarco and Latavius both seem to have pretty good matchups this week. Tampa Bay and Detroit, though I think Tampa Bay has been playing better lately. And then I like your wide receivers. You got Greg Olsen going against Washington. And Greg Olsen, did you know that I think Greg Olsen has played every single snap this year for Carolina? He's like the only player in football to have played every single snap.
Wow.
Yep.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
his scoring
doesn't get tired.
Apparently not, but I don't necessarily think that his scoring has been what it could have been.
Yeah, but if he was on New England, he'd be the number one tight end.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good
point. That's a function of the offense he's on.
Sure.
And then Frank Gore in there at flex, going against Atlanta, whose rush defense is not good. So you've got some good matchups this week. What's the projection? I don't have it with what I'm looking at right now.
Right now it is, I think it was 130 to 112.
Yeah, you're up 22 points on him right now, and he's got two guys to fill in. So probably looking at a pretty even game here. And I don't think I'm going to throw my pick to Chris right now. I feel like it'd be bad mojo for you, though, if I picked you. You know, like
So we can leave it at that. I'm fine. I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah.
I read you.
Yeah. So, yeah, but subtle. It'll be another good game. I think we've got three good games we've talked about so far. So,
yeah.
Let's keep the good times rolling. Let's go talk about Andy and Michael.
All right, let's hop on over.
All right, Michael is, tough luck, really, for Michael being a 7-loss team, because he doesn't really deserve to be there based on, his points scored. He's had some rough losses. He has scored the sixth most points in the league so far this year, and is yet one of our two teams who's basically on the outside looking in at this point. However, he is without Julian Edelman now, which was a big part of his team. But he does have Jeremy Langford, who is apparently all better than Matt Forte, and they're at running back for Chicago now. So, Richard Rodgers has been hot at tight end. And Andy, of course, has Aaron Rodgers, who would be throwing to Richard Rodgers. So, and that's a pretty good matchup for Michael there. Overall, though, it's pretty thin on Michael's team. We'll see if Calvin Johnson plays. If he does, it's a good matchup against Oakland. But he didn't practice today. And then Tom Brady, number one quarterback this year, but with fewer weapons to throw at. He's looked a little more human the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And now it goes against Buffalo, who haven't been very good against the pass, but their defense has been much better recently than it was earlier in the year. So might be a tough one for Michael. Andy, on the other hand, is fighting for his playoff life. And he might have one of the softest remaining schedules at this point of the year. He doesn't play any of the top three teams in the league the rest of the season. So if any team with at 4-6 with a good shot at making it back to the playoffs, Andy maybe one of them. Although you've probably played all the top teams now, haven't you? Or do you still have to play? You still have to play Derek?
Not sure. I'll play Derek. I think I'd play Derek.
Yeah, but you gotta play him again. You play him again next week, week 12. So that'll be tough. So yeah, so I think Andy probably has one of the best remaining schedules. So we'll see if he can capitalize on that. He's got Davante Adams and Dante Moncrief and Allen Robinson at wide receiver, and that's one of the stronger wide receiver cores we've seen from Andy this year, because Davante Adams is now back and is playing, and Aaron Rodgers threw the ball at him 21 times on Sunday, which is just kind of an obscene number of targets
mm-hmm.
for Adams. He only turned that into 10 catches, but still, if Rodgers is going to throw it to him that much, he'll start grabbing a few more of those, most likely. And then he's got Jimmy Graham at tight end, and Justin Forsett and Charles Sims at running back. Sims being the really the weak link in that chain. So we'll see what happens. I probably like Andy for this one, though, just because Michael's got Edelman hurt, and that's a tough hole to fill.
Sure is.
For a team that we've discussed before being...
Yeah, I have to agree with everything you said.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry I didn't leave you anywhere.
Yeah, I could talk about how Mark Ingram and Isaiah Crowell are on the bench, but Mark Ingram has been oh so solid, and Isaiah yep. Crowell has been hit or miss. Doug Baldwin is a great option for him, but he's got Charles Sims in there right now. I'm sure he'll make a move there. Darren Sproles, again, has been much weaker than anybody anticipated. But I think Doug will probably make his way back in there. I know he's questionable right now. I'm not sure what the report is on that. But so I'm going to lean towards Andy on this one. But we will see.
All right. Very good.
Could be actually kind of close.
Could be. All right, let's go to Jared and Ben next. Ben is riding a two-game winning streak coming to this one, sitting at 6-4. Jared, of course, is 3-7, and right now is one of the thinner teams in the league by his own choosing, occupying most of his bench with keeper options for next year, whereas Ben, of course, has made some trades to try to solidify his team. Probably isn't as strong as he'd like to be right now. A lot of that is because Ben Roethlisberger and Odell Beckham Jr. are on bye this week. So it makes Ben's team look a little weaker right now. No one he has in the starting lineup outside of Martellus Bennett is a top 20 player at their position. So that doesn't look too strong there. Mm-hmm. But he should be able to beat Jared here, who's got guys like Dontrell Inman and Jeremy Hill and James Jones in his starting lineup, none of whom have been too reliable, especially as of late. And Jared also has LeGarrette Blount, who's got a tough matchup against Buffalo, and the Patriots will probably just throw the ball a bunch anyway, and not give the ball to Blount very much. So we'll see what happens here, but I think Ben's got the stronger team, even though he's got some players. Like Marshawn Lynch is the number 38 running back in football this year. Even though he's hurt for two games, you expect him to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Stewart's been playing better lately, but still is such a low ceiling player. It's like you say Jonathan Stewart's been playing really well, and he has, but he hasn't scored more than 22 points in the last 5 weeks, and his average is like 15.
Yeah.
So that's, I don't really consider that playing real well. So, what do you think? Low scoring game here?
I think it is. I think it's not like shockingly low, but definitely lower for the week on the lower side, maybe the second or third. I think that it's going to depend on some quarterback performances across the board within the league this week. And it seems that, you know, coming out of the gate, you got Peyton Manning down for the count. You got Eli Manning on bye. I think that Tom Brady will do really well this week. But other than that, we're questionable about Andy Dalton. All that to say, NFL scores, I'm going to just go ahead and predict a general gut feeling that it's going to be less of a shootout week. And so I anticipate the league score being a little bit lower and that this will be on the bottom tier.
Yeah. I'd have a hard time arguing with you, you know, looking at the matchups this week. None of them really seem to be like, that's going to be a shootout game.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I feel like last week went, you know, where there's just kind of low scoring games last week. So it seems like they'll probably bounce back.
Maybe.
Scoring will bounce back this week, but it'll probably be a bunch of weird, random backup tight ends that no one's playing. So.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll queue up the I was wrong track for one of us.
Yep. Oh, definitely. All right, so we'll do...
Derek Carr, though. Man, what the heck?
He's pretty good.
I would never... I mean, would you draft him coming out of...
No. No, he would be in that tier of, like, Sam Bradford and Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah.
You know, at around draft time. But people liked those guys. No one really... was mentioning Carr because he's on the Raiders. I mean, you don't draft Raiders.
No, you don't. You play Raiders. You match up
with Raiders. Right. You target Raiders.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all I'll say about that one. Jared is a toilet bowl contender, whereas Ben is a strong lead for the playoffs, clinching a spot. And so a win will only further solidify Ben's position, but a win for Jared means continued competition inside the next tier bracket.
Yes, sir. Nice job of avoiding calling it the loser's bracket.
I was just trying to... salt the oats because I know what I'm risking this next week. So,
you don't want to talk about how crappy a city is until you move there.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then I'm not welcome in my own town.
Exactly.
So,
all right, we got one more matchup left. We got Scott and Brock going against each other. Scott looking to rebound from a bad week in which, you know, the return of Alshon Jeffrey and Dez Bryant did not manifest itself as he probably would have liked. Hopefully those two will rebound this week, though Jeffrey is going up against Denver. So that's a tough matchup there, and both are questionable on the injury report right now. I'd like to point out that he has Allen Hurns, who I traded to him for Lamar Miller, and you would think that I fleeced him for Lamar Miller in that trade. However, Hurns has scored a touchdown in 7 consecutive games, which is a pretty neat trick, and is now the number 15 wide receiver in football. Now, don't get me wrong, Miller is better, and I may have indeed fleeced him, you know, getting the kind of top 5 running back for the number 15 wide receiver, but still, Hurns has been much better than probably anyone expected.
Yeah, I mean, Jacksonville. I mean, same.
Right, yeah, we're talking about...
I mean, come
Jacksonville,
on.
Jacksonville and Oakland, both with 2 wide receivers in the top 20 wide receivers.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, those guys are better than, like, Demaryius Thomas.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I would take them over the Texans right now, that's for sure.
So next year, by all of the San Francisco 49ers wide receivers.
I guess that's who the torch is going to pass.
Yeah. That's what the trend is going. Yep. Choose the crappy team from last year.
Yep.
And dip their wide receivers.
So what do you think Dez is going to do with Tony Romo back in the pocket?
If Dez plays, he's going to be a monster. I mean, he's got to be. He's just going to score like crazy.
He is so due.
Miami's defense isn't great against the pass. They've given up a touchdown to wide receivers every week except for week one. I think Dez has a big day with Romo throwing to him. You know, they're going to be on the road. I think they'll be throwing more than if they're at home. And the only thing that I could see being an issue here is if Dallas just kind of plays the ball possession game the whole time and they just, you know, chew up clock with the running game and Romo just manages it to shorten the game and not let Miami touch the ball very much, then it may just be more of a McFadden game than a Dez game. But I think, I think Dez will get his, you know, do like six catches for 90 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You know, I think that's probably my favorite wide receiver line. Six catches, 90 yards and a touchdown. It looks real clean. You got a nice 15 yards.
It's a good day's work. It's not, yeah. You know, it's unassuming. It's not like, man, I'm look at me. It's just, I showed up to work today and I performed.
And you know, it
what
looks is, like
what
it,
did you do?
Something that you can repeat and you know the next week. It's not like, oh man, he had 14 catches for 187 yards and two touchdowns because you know he's not going to do that again next week.
No,
Unless you're Antonio Brown. But you know, six catches, 90 yards, touchdown. That's a good day's work, good score, and you know, probably do it again next week. So that's a really weird. Weird thing. It's kind of like my favorite. One of my favorite poker hands is a 10-5 offsuit.
Oh yeah.
No reason. Just looks nice.
Yeah, I mean, it's got some mathematical symmetry.
Yeah,
I mean, you got the you know
numbers that are easily divisible into each other.
Yeah, it's nice to man. You guys, it's like common denominator. Hey, we can reduce these.
I have two cards.
This
one
is
five.
This is lovely.
2 times 5 is 10.
All right, with that, let's hop over into some very thrilling statistics as we discuss this seemingly sultry spreadsheet that has run those instances to create a projection for who has a lock and who has a lot to accomplish in order to make those playoffs. Pete, you want to give us a rundown on how this thing works once again, and then we'll dive into what it says?
Yeah, so it's a spreadsheet we found last year. Someone put it kind of like a free share space, which is awesome. Thank you to them, whoever they were, an ominous Excel wizard out there who was a fantasy football nerd. But basically what we're looking at is we've got 3 weeks left in the year. We kind of have an idea for strength of teams. We do know exactly what their record is for the season. So we factor all that in and we kind of put some odds on the, you know, the matchups that are coming up. Most of them are about 50-50, but you know, if you've got, say Brent going against Scott, then we know that's, you know, that's going to lean in Brent's favor. Pretty heavily, and so we put odds on that to shift it Brent's way. And then the spreadsheet runs 2,500 iterations of what could happen with the remaining games in the last 3 weeks of the year, and then spits out a, you know, how many times out of those 2,500 iterations does Team A make the playoffs, and it slaps a percentage on that for us. So that being said, it basically tells you exactly what you'd expect, but it just quantifies it. So that's some good statistics there.
And with that, like we already said, we already have some locks in play that were celebrated, and we already have some mathematically eliminated league managers this year. Just to recap that, we're tipping the hat to Brent Powell and to yours truly, Peter Elwood, who have both locked and clinched playoff spots. Another clinch that is mathematically a little bit lower, but still a clinch, is of course Derek coming in at 97% locked into the playoffs. Right behind Derek are Ben at 95% and Brock at 92%. These are our playoff locks. They are mathematically guaranteed a position, with the exception of Brock, I guess, mathematically guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, Ben, Derek, and Brock, they're all at 6 wins. So if they lose out, they will probably miss the playoffs, you know, because they would finish the season 6-7. So they could all just, you know, crash and burn and miss the playoffs. But essentially, if they win one more game, they're in. So the odds are heavily in their favor. That's why they're all above 90%. And yeah, the pretty safe bet that they're gonna make the playoffs at this point.
So beyond that, there's a pretty significant jump, because it's kind of functioning on a curve, with the exception of Chris, who, due to very unfortunate matchups over the past couple weeks, does not have that same fortunate guarantee or one game spread away from playoffs. He instead is hitting at 75% right now, giving him a 0.75% chance at attaining the playoffs. You want to unpack that?
Yeah, I mean, he's at 5-5. He's the only team that sits at 5-5. So he's got three teams at 6-4 ahead of him, four teams at 4-6 behind him. So if he loses this week, his playoff odds will drop a lot, because then he'll be at 5-6. There will be other teams likely at 5-6 with him, and so he's got to kind of split that share of his percentage with those other teams. Whereas if he wins, he'll probably jump up into that 90% range, and you'd be close to a lock at that point as well. So big week for Chris. He's the bubble team right now. He's got four teams nipping at his heels, just waiting for him to stumble one time. That could be all it takes. So. Definitely probably the most interesting position for Chris right now, since no one else has the same record as him, and he's right there in the middle of the pack.
Yep. And then bringing up the rear, we've got myself hovering around the 10 to 11% mark. We've got Andy also hovering around that percent mark, 9, 10%. And we've got Scott right now on my instance looking at 8%. Currently, so we're on the bottom tier.
Brian is there at 10% as well.
I miss Brian. Yep, he's sitting at 10% as well.
Yeah, so basically, about four teams at 10%, all of which are
underneath the middle records at 4-6, which means that one of us has to win out in order to make the playoffs, and I think it'll just be one of us that'll be that final spot in the playoff. Correct.
So Chris holds the final spot in the playoff right now. So it would be one of these teams would have to overtake Chris for the last spot, or hope one of the teams that are currently 6-4 lose out. So kind of would take a miracle for one of these teams to make the playoffs, but they're not dead yet. One more loss and they're out. So that's kind of a exciting place to be. None of them play each other this week, as we mentioned before. So they could all win this week. They could all lose this week. We'll see what happens, but definitely hoping that they all win. Really hoping they don't all lose, because then if they all lose, then the playoff picture is locked in, and that would be a shame with 2 weeks to go in the season to not have the drama and suspense.
A race all the way to the end, sure. Well, what happens if Chris loses this weekend, and how does that affect the straight for the rest of us?
The teams that are 4-6 have to win to still be in it, no matter what Chris does. But if Chris loses and one of those teams wins, then we're basically looking at even odds at that point for them. And where all these four teams are currently tied at 10%, they will then be tied with Chris at probably something like 50%.
Yeah.
Be a coin flip over the last two games.
Sure.
Chris will likely hold the tiebreaker, which is total points scored, over any of these teams. So it's kind of like, even though he's got a one-game lead right now, it's kind of like a two-game lead, where even if he loses and someone else wins, they'll be tied, but he'll still have the tiebreaker. So it'll take another loss from Chris for him to get passed. So that's why he does have 75%, which are pretty good odds.
Yeah.
But he does have to win. He controls his own destiny. The other teams do not so much.
Gotcha. Well, I'm playing him this week, and so I guess first hurdle for me in the dance of miracles will be to overcome him by a pretty good substantial amount of points. We'll see what happens.
You got a tough gauntlet with Brent last week, Chris this week, and Derek next week.
I told you. I think I had the toughest schedule in the run.
Yep, I believe it. Yep. But one down.
And, there you go.
Yeah, you might just have to W the Giants Slayer here in a couple weeks.
You know what would be the worst? I would rather lose out this week than make it all the way to week 13 to lose on Monday night. That would be the worst.
Would you rather, though? Like that would be terrible.
No,
that
would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That would be pretty awesome.
I'd like it.
Yeah, I mean, what more could you hope for than being right in it to the very end, even if ends in a total nut punch? You want that nut punch. You don't want to just go quietly into the night.
I will not go quietly into the night. And speaking of not going quietly into the night, as we are going into the night, let us rank some power rankings. Peter getting those out to us just in time for tonight. Once again, Brent sitting on top of the power rankings for an astounding 8 weeks straight. We have the comment from Peter saying, that loss ends a 7-game win streak. It's the beginning of the end, I tell you. I think he's wrong, but I like the effort to chip away at Brent's armor nonetheless, Pete. Good effort.
Yeah, you always have to try to knock down every team.
Sure.
I don't know. I just don't want to knock down every team. You want to knock down the top teams and build up the bottom teams. Yeah. It's like being a parent, Seth.
Okay.
You gotta boost the confidence of those teams that are, are needing some help, and you've got to instill humility into those teams who are really strong. So.
But I don't see you doing that week to week, Pete. I see you kicking man when they're down. Like like I'm looking at number 12 down here, and I see is a heart monitor going beep. Oh, poor Jared.
At a certain point, Seth, you just can't help your kids anymore. You just gotta let them go.
Yeah.
I mean, what am I going to do for Jared? Hey, you're still in it, buddy.
Yeah, if you believe you can, you just have to believe.
You can do anything you set your mind to.
Well, no. Scott gets a pretty good reality check as you put a wrench in his comeback, so...
I was kind of bummed. I was hoping he would be the surprise team that would rise from the ashes on the wings of Alshon and Dez, but they let him down this week for sure.
Mm. Yep. Well, in terms of my favorite, I'm gonna put one on top of the list here. I gotta call out the what?
I don't know. I feel like you don't want to say it.
No, because I realized there can be some controversy in what I'm about to say, because never before in the history of power rankings have we had a repeat offender, a repeat strategy here. But this week, Ben dropped down to a rank of 6, and the hilarious power ranking that you offered him was Ben benched Big Ben, but Big Ben bounced back. We'll just do this every time.
Yeah, you know, it's like the Hangover 2. It's not as good as the original, but it makes you think of the original, and you got some good memories of the original. Mostly, I was just bummed we didn't podcast last week to talk about.
Me too.
Talked about it when I first had it, because last week's was Ben bought Big Ben, but Big Ben's balky body busted Ben's balls.
Perfect.
Yeah, which really
set the precedent for why this week's is so funny.
Exactly. You know, I wanted to just drop the microphone and walk off the stage and not write another power ranking comment the rest of the year, because that was the that's as good as it's gonna get. And it was topical with Roethlisberger going down with injury.
Yep.
You just gotta love the alliteration.
I do indeed.
If there is one thing we love, it is iterations and alliterations.
Especially when they're illicit.
Right.
Right.
How about, so that one was just kind of a throwback to last week. I feel like the only good power ranking comment, being real with myself here. This is not a strong effort. The only, really the only good one was number 10, this week. So.
If you're going to get in. I don't want to read that one out loud. That one...
I know. <that's... laughs> I want you to read it.
No, I'm not going to read that on the air.
If you're going to get in, it's going to be in the back door. Giddy.
I guess. I'm out.
It's true.
Okay. So, on that note, we've got a big week ahead fighting for survival. Let's keep it a clean match. I want to see somebody fighting for that final spot down to the wire week 13. Any other words, Pete, before we sign off?
Well, we've got some scheduling things we've got to talk about where we may not be able to record the next 2 weeks. Is that correct?
Well, World Traveler? Yeah, I will be out of country and out of reach for sure next week. It's also Thanksgiving week, a time that we hope you will spend with your families, talking about fantasy football with them, promoting truth and reconciliation to them, continuing to build our fan base. If we can handle any more, I'm not sure, but I want to continue to reach the masses as we have done so. And so I would ask that all of our listeners share fervently the greatness that is truth and reconciliation with their families. However, next week I will be unreachable. No Wi-Fi, no connectivity. We will not be broadcasting a Thanksgiving week podcast. However, I will be returning the following week from South America to Central America on my way back. And from there, I will still be gone on Wednesday, but I will return on Thursday. I will likely be exhausted, but my commitment to truth and reconciliation is this. The show should probably go on, and we'll do our very best.
Yeah, it's a shame we missed last week because we pushed through you being in London. Mm-hmm. We pushed through being out of Buffalo Wild Wings.
Mm-hmm.
And we fell last week to simple...
me being on the couch.
Yeah, you being on the couch.
And you were working.
Me working. You were working. It was just...
I had to work all weekend.
Just the busyness of life.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame that we were victimized.
Yeah.
When we've pushed through so much more adversity than that. So I will not require you to record amidst the busy travel that you've got coming up. But we will definitely be back in time for the playoffs at least.
Yeah, for sure. But look forward to catching us not next week on Thanksgiving, but the week after. We'll definitely try to work that in on Thursday night. If not, we'll do what I intended to do last week, and that was just post a track of elevator music. That was my goal. That didn't get up either. So
I could record and send to you me doing some kazoo noises.
Oh, well, we could use more of those for the sound bank.
Right.
So that would be helpful.
Yep.
All right. Well, on that note... He's Peter Elwood. I'm Seth Martin. It's been great having you with us. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.